The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what sports talk radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we are just underway here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on November 6th. 2025. Yes, we're almost a week in to the month of November, and it's a perfect day in Auburn, Opelika. Maybe even a little warm for some of us folks out there, but never going to complain about some sunshine and not a lot of clouds in the sky. But man, it's a great day to be here. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us here on ESPN 106.7 for a slammed Thursday edition of the show. We've got tons of guests to talk with. We have football things to talk about, basketball things to talk about, high school football to talk about as well. So it should be a very busy show. Should fly right on by. Christian, happy Thursday, sir. How are you?
Happy Thursday, man. Today is our finishing day of prep, and we've both been running back and forth, making sure that we have everything set to go. We are both very, very excited to not only be playing in the playoffs, but to be hosting the first round of the playoffs, both Auburn High and Lee Scott Academy. We get to start today's show talking some more on the coaching search side of things, and maybe not somebody that's leaning more towards the yes side of things. Maybe a coach that has slammed the door and said no, and not necessarily to Auburn directly, maybe, but a coach that has basically said, I'm not going anywhere. That being said, rumors are beginning to fly wild in the SEC for coaches that are in it and maybe want out, and coaches that are out that are trying to get in. So that's where we get to start the show here today. Before we dive into a little bit of Auburn basketball as they look to get back on track, we're not back on track in the win column, but back on track here in Neville Arena, once again, hosting a very good Merrimack team that stats say they're very good and experts say that they are very, very good. We'll talk about some players that need some big-time games here before we get to Brad Law of the Auburn Sports Network, get his thoughts on all things football, all things basketball, as we do every single Thursday at 2:30, before we recap another big night in college basketball. Last night, some scores around the top 25 in college basketball and the SEC as well. Maybe a little bit of preview with Thursday night football in there as well. All of that before we get to Keith Etheridge, head coach of the Auburn High Tigers, to start hour number two.
Yep, so a jam-packed show. Phone lines will be kind of open sporadically, so if you want to be a part of the show, I recommend now. It is probably the best time to do that. You can give us a call, 334-321-1390. Again, 334-321-1390. More coaching talk to start the show. If you want to be a part of that, tell us how you feel about who Auburn should hire as their next head football coach. You can give us a call. Again, 334-321-1390. And the best way to be involved with us today is through the text box. Our show text box is 334-784-1067. And we begin today's show with a statement made by Brent Key, the Georgia Tech head coach. Christian's in depression. This was his guy. This is the one you've been on for a while.
And I don't know if I've said it on the show yet, though, because we haven't given our top five. I know you hinted at it
like
a couple days ago. I know you hinted at it saying that, talking about the guy that's a winner, that has that mentality. You said that he resides in Atlanta.
Well, you've liked him even before Auburn fired Hugh Freeze.
Very much
so. You were high
yes
on this guy. And a lot of Auburn fans had started to lean this way too. I know there's a lot of people, okay, who were in the John Sumrall camp. I know there's some people in the Brent Key camp, in the Dillingham camp. We had a good conversation about Dillingham yesterday. Yeah. Some outsiders there as well. But Brent Key was starting to gain a little traction with the Auburn job. And he was also starting to gain some traction with just other job openings in general. Yeah. Penn State, LSU, Florida, Auburn, Arkansas. I mean, there's a lot of P4 jobs out there. And Brent Key's name continued to be thrown around. So much so, if you don't believe that it was gaining traction, that Brent Key decided he was going to put out a little statement today. And he just made it pretty quick and pretty much, maybe not officially official, but pretty darn close. Brent Key did his best Leonardo DiCaprio, his best Jordan Belfort of "I'm not leaving."
Yeah.
That's pretty much what he dropped today, did the Georgia Tech head football coach.
Yeah, this was, again, I don't know if we've openly talked about it, but yeah, this was my number one. This was the guy from the Auburn standpoint of, if you're wanting to fill the character traits of just a winner, of a physical brand of football, one of the three coaches in college football that I think would tell you, I'm perfectly fine winning a game 24-21 and just out-physicaling your defense and offense and just dominating the line of scrimmage, and I'll go and I'll win an ugly game. And that's what Georgia Tech has continued to do. Yes, they lost last week, but I still think you would happily take everything that they've done so far this season. And with that traction, yeah, came out today and did his best Jordan Belfort. He said, quote, "Since I came back here," referring to Atlanta and Georgia Tech, "since I was named the head coach, outside of the time with my family, every waking second of my life has gone towards building this program to get to the point of where it's at right now. So that in turn, we can continue 3 years from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, continue to elevate this place to be in that conversation. Not to be in there for 2 or 3 weeks, but to be a consistent team. Not when you lose one game, have people say the storybook is over. Nah, it's just the beginning."
Here we go. This is the kicker right here, buddy. Yeah. If this don't fire you up,
if this doesn't show you that he's a hell of a coach,
then
and the reason that will. Christian Griffin wanted him as the head coach. Not when you lose one game, have people say that the storybook is over. Nah, it is just the beginning. Slice me open and see what colors I bleed. Damn.
He ain't going nowhere. He ain't leaving. I'll say it for him, man. He ain't leaving, okay? He ain't flipping leaving, is what Brent Key just said, because he's one of those guys that we have talked about in all of these coaching searches. Again, this, I don't firmly believe that this was directed at Auburn in particular. I think this was because his name was being thrown around for several jobs, but he was one of those guys, Jeff Braum being another one that we've talked, Clark Lee being another one, right? We've talked about have their home ties, have their playing ties, or have their family ties, or have reasons that they're at their current school other than the money that they're making,
yeah,
right? But there was just a growing sensation with some people that he would leave, and there was a growing sensation with some people that he wouldn't leave. And the idea that a guy making less than $5 million a year at Georgia Tech, he's making just under $5 million at the head coach of Georgia Tech, which I think is pretty good. I think that's pretty good to be the head coach at Georgia Tech of all places, okay?
Yeah.
But that's clearly not a competitive salary in today's era of college football. Not for a team that's still fighting for the college football playoff, right? But that didn't matter. He basically said, "I don't want your money. I don't want your calls. I don't want your program. I got all I need right here." And all but said, "I'm not leaving."
Oh, yeah, Brent, what if I offered you a varsity orange, a frosted orange, and some onion rings?
I mean,
I'll bring a varsity to Auburn.
Lemonade is pretty solid downtown. That's all I can say. Can you cross the sidewalk in an X pattern in downtown Atlanta? No, bet you can't do that. You can in Auburn.
Hey, Brent, you don't want to come to Auburn? Auburn will bring the football team to you next year. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, yeah. You, to start your whole, the 2026 your whole season. Family can come watch Auburn in the opener next year when you take on Baylor. No, I do think this is set in stone. How many times, though, in the history of the sport?
That's where I was going next.
Have we seen guys have to come out in the middle of the season and make some sort of a statement of, I'm focused on my team. Yeah. I'm not worried about other jobs. I'm focused on our goals here, and we're still fighting for a championship or a playoff. And then they bolt as soon as the season is over, right?
I'm not going to, so quit asking.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a story as old as time. Because at the end of the day, money talks, right? Money talks. And if Brent Key's making less than $5 million a year at Georgia Tech, and somebody like LSU or Auburn walks in and says, hey, we'll pay you 10.
Yeah.
We'll double your salary right now to take a bigger job, a better job, and pay you more money. Most people would say yes.
Especially only 2 hours away, too.
But I have a feeling this ain't going to happen. I think Brent Key told the world today, leave me alone. We've got business to take care of in Atlanta. And I respect him for that. And I think he sticks to it. I think Brent Key is off the board. I think he's done.
Yeah, it hurts to say, but I do think that is the reality. Now, again, if the back half of the season for Georgia Tech completely unfolded and he wanted to go get Eric Singleton back, then, you know, we'll happily listen. But if that's the case, with how quickly John Cohen wants this search over, you feel like that immediately scratches that name off the list, because Brent Key is obviously not going to truly listen to any of these legitimate conversations until after the season, whether that be if Georgia Tech makes the ACC championship, the college football playoff, or not. By that point, Auburn's just trying to make it to a bowl game, which who would have thought that we'd be at that point right now of just trying to get to what the goal was earlier in the season. But by that point, John Cohen wants to all but have this thing locked down, which makes it kind of the double-edged sword for the Auburn Tigers.
Yeah, it does. And so with that name seemingly being off the board for Auburn, again, Brent Key put out a statement today and says, I'm not trying to build something for next year, 5 years, 10 years. I want to be here for life. He says, cut me open and see what colors I bleed, talking about Georgia Tech, which is, again, passionate, fiery stuff from him. But I think it's safe to say, in at least our conversations, unless something changes, he's off. He's gone. And so that now opens the door for other names, right? I still feel that from what we've heard, from what I've seen, from what I've talked to people about, John Sumrall seems to be the leader in the clubhouse still.
Very much so.
At least by the popularity vote. Okay, at least by the popularity vote, that's the name I hear the most.
Which is something we haven't talked too much about, and I believe it was Josh Pate that mentioned it, of from the Auburn standpoint, you almost fear, because that's such the popular name, it feels like that's such the easy choice. Does that mean that somebody in that camp that has a legitimate say wants to go elsewhere just because they don't want to follow suit with what everybody wants?
Yeah, I don't know if I vocalized this over the airwaves, but that's how I feel. Nothing against John Sumrall. Nothing at all. But we've seen the ups and downs with him. We've seen the ups and downs of Tulane. And because he's like the popular pick, for whatever reason, I've seen Auburn get burned before. I'm just kind of turned off by him. Again, I have nothing against the guy. Don't know him like that.
And not to be any means of, if he was hired tomorrow, you would be upset.
No, I wouldn't. No, I mean, I wouldn't go crazy, you know, one way or the other. But I just think Auburn, John Cohen owes it to Auburn, and Auburn owes it to its fans to make this a legitimate search, rather than, well, I guess the fans want him, so I guess let's go and take a look. Well, yeah, I guess he's pretty good. And move the goalposts to make it work.
Sure.
Right? Rather than what John Cohen said he's going to do on Monday afternoon, which is do an in-depth search, talk to everybody he needs to talk to, do all the research, look at all the numbers, figure this thing out, and find the perfect fit for Auburn, not a possibly perfect fit for Auburn.
Which goes back to just the conversation of how much the betting world changes the way that you look at everything, right? I mean, I remember when I was younger sitting at the house watching the Heisman Trophy ceremony, and you got to watch all hour and a half, 2 hours of it. You watched everybody give their speech because you genuinely had no idea who was going to walk away with the trophy. You now know in week 11 who's going to win the trophy, and it's not even worth watching because the odds are minus 800 and then the second place person is plus 550 or whatever the case may be. The way that you now have betting odds with the next head coach tells you that obviously there's people that understand how things work and know the insider information, to where it takes away a little bit of the spark, to where if there were just people talking about John Sumrall, but it didn't necessarily have that legitimate traction with the money following that name, you feel like there'd be a little bit more raw excitement. But just because of how everything works, that now feels like the quote-unquote easy option for Auburn. And by no means are we saying that's the bad option. That's just how life works, of how if he's hired next week, it wouldn't necessarily come as any sort of surprise.
We got a text in our on-the-line text box, 334-784-1067. You can send your comments, questions, names that you want to see Auburn go after in the head coaching search to that. It says, can you guys help me with something? How is John Sumrall different than Billy Napier? And how is Lane Kiffin different from James Franklin? He says, I'm having trouble understanding why the narratives around some guys stick and then others we clamor over. How is John Sumrall different than Billy Napier? And how is Lane Kiffin different from James Franklin? We'll talk about that when we come back, because I think that's fascinating to look into. And I've started diving into some of the numbers, and it could get a little tricky. 334-321-1390. We'll answer that question right after this, as we're just underway here on the Thursday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, we're back here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, talking coaching search for Auburn before we take our bottom of the hour break, where Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network will be joining us. We'll talk to him about some football stuff as Auburn looking for a new head coach while they have DJ Durkin as the interim, and then go to Nashville to take on Vanderbilt on Saturday. But we got a question in the on-the-line text box, and we want to answer it now, 334-784-1067. And we're being asked how John Sumrall is different than Billy Napier. So basically comparing those two guys, right? Comparing Sumrall and Billy Napier, and also comparing Lane Kiffin and James Franklin.
And I'm guessing more so Billy Napier prior to Florida.
I would assume so, yes. Since Billy coached at a small G5 school like Louisiana,
yeah,
like Sumrall has been doing with Troy and now Tulane. It's pretty interesting because I feel like people's opinions of Billy Napier have obviously been muddied by what happened at Florida, where he goes 6-7, 5-7, 8-5, 3-4, and gets canned, right? But if you remember, his record at Louisiana was incredible. He was 7-7 in his first year back in 2018. Billy Napier then ripped off three straight double-digit win seasons, going 11-3 with a win in a bowl game, 10-1 with a win in a bowl game, in 2020, by the way, and then went 12-1 in 2021. So 11-3, 10-1, 12-1. And then he took the Florida job. I thought that was a great hire when Florida made it.
I did as well.
I loved that hire for them. But clearly he wasn't ready for the big times. And I also believe that Florida, if you remember the situation they were in, was a disaster.
Yeah.
Okay, he walked into a you-know-what show. And I genuinely think he left it better than he found it. But they obviously were impatient, and every school is now. And I don't think he was going to be the long-term answer, but I do think he helped them climb out of a little bit of a hole. But then you compare, again, his record at Louisiana versus what John Summerall's been up to, 12-2 at Troy, 11-2 at Troy, 9-5 at Tulane, currently 6-2. So what are the differences in your mind, Christian, in terms of just what their reputation is to take that next step and get that big boy job?
Yeah, from the standpoint, interesting you took it analytically. I took it a little bit more just from the personality standpoint, at least initially, before getting into a little bit more of the numbers, and I'll get to what Tulane has done over the past couple of years here in just a minute. But whether this be for good or for bad, you feel like Billy Napier brought much more of the calculated, methodical, calm presence to the locker room, to recruiting, and to the field. You feel like Summerall has a little bit more of that energetic passion on the sideline, right? The visible leadership, whether that be verbal or nonverbal. Again, whether it be good or bad, you feel like relies on emotion and feeds off of energy. I think he's seen a little bit more on the field as a player's coach, although we know that when Billy Napier left, it was not because you didn't see players celebrate, but I feel like that was a little bit more behind closed doors rather than the on-field player's coach. We've seen the interviews with Summerall saying that he's not smart enough to have multiple personalities. What you see from him on the field is exactly the same type of person he is doing just about everything in life. And that right there is something that gives a little bit of peace, knowing that he's not somebody behind closed doors. And for those that we've talked about or gotten texts from that say that they know him, they say that he's, again, relatively the exact same way. I do think Tulane is a little bit more of a step up rather than going from Louisiana to Florida or from Troy to Auburn. I think Tulane being that middle ground, that very, very respectable G5 team.
Borderline P4.
Borderline P4, because you play multiple P4 teams every single year. I mean, you look at the 2024 season where you lost to Kansas State, who was really, really good with Avery Johnson at the time, by a touchdown. You lost by 15 to Oklahoma. You beat South Florida, who began having a little bit of those conversations in the playoff. And you beat Navy 35-0. That wiped Navy out of the college football playoff last year. Before you did lose to Florida to finish up the year, got beat up pretty bad in that one. You beat Northwestern to start the year this year. And Northwestern quietly is one of the teams that has a really, really good defense. You also beat Duke. Duke is, if they got that win and they beat Georgia Tech, they'd be right in that conversation with Virginia and Louisville to be in the college football playoff. And then you beat Army a couple weeks ago, and then you lose to UTSA last week, which got all the conversations going about, oh, but look, he's having conversations already. I think it's a little bit more of a step up because, again, I think Tulane is that very respectable G5 team to where when you play them or you put them on your schedule, it's by no means a cupcake.
Yeah. No, I think that's a great way to put it. So we got a text to from someone we know, and it says that trying to predict which G5 head coach will be successful in the SEC is a crapshoot, and I absolutely agree. I mean, it really is. It's like shooting. Yeah, it's what is the term? Shooting fish in a barrel. Is that right? I don't think that's the right.
I think you just roll with it.
I don't think that's the right slang. It's not the right word either. That's not the right analogy, but it kind of is. I don't know. Crapshoot it is.
Shooting fish in a barrel means that it's a task that's very easy to accomplish, so simple that it requires no effort or skill at all.
Oh, nope. That's completely wrong then. Okay. Well, I am completely. So it's not like shooting fish in a barrel. It's like shooting them in the ocean or something, you know, with a BB gun. Boom. We turned it around. That's right.
Boom.
But it's true, right? Trying to predict which G5 head coach is going to be successful, you don't know.
Yeah.
Some are, most aren't. That's how I would put it. Some are successful, most are not successful.
That being said, just playing devil's advocate, you feel like college football does continuously change, and if we're taking that standpoint that we've talked about, was it 1976 the last time that Auburn hired a first-time
head coach, yeah.
Whether that be G5 level or P4 level, that obviously doesn't include John Sumrall, but from the standpoint of, man, the guy that's going to show up to work every single day because Auburn is that big stepping stone rather than that fail-safe. You feel like that brings a little bit more in the way that college football has changed and adapted. I would argue a little bit more that winning, regardless of where you're at, having the caliber, having the traits of winning can easier carry over than they could in the past.
We got a text from Brian, who's up in Northwest Alabama in Lauderdale County. I know exactly where you are, Brian. Says, loves the station, loves both of our shows. Says he's leaning towards retaining DJ as head coach if he could hire a young offensive coordinator like Texas Tech's Mack Leftwich.
Yeah, there's been a lot of talk.
How about that? Texas Tech's Leftwich, a top five offense in the country.
And that man has a little bit of a resume in there as well.
Yes, he does, as a quarterback and a coach. So, not bad, Brian. I like that, and I think we'll hit on that as we go. But we got to get to our bottom of the hour break, because when we come back, Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network joins us.
You're 30 minutes into On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Now back to the studio with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
30 minutes into hour number one here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He is Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. We're happy that you're with us on a gorgeous day in the Auburn-Opelika area. And we're also glad that this guy is joining us on the phone lines, as he does every single Thursday at 2:30. It's crossover season, which means the busyness ramps up for Brad Law over at the Auburn Sports Network. So we're appreciative of his time, as always. And Brad, you're not busy right now, right? You're just hanging out and just relaxing with football, basketball, and everything else going on.
Listen, I just left basketball shoot around to talk to you guys, so it better be good, I'm telling you. It better be good.
Well, it's that I leave that up to you. You're the guest. That's why we bring you on, to be great, right?
That's fair. I'll wear that. Yeah, that's fine. Let's make some magic.
I love it. Well, there is a lot to talk about, of course. It's a busy time on the plains with coaching change for football. You still have a game to play for football, and then basketball in their second game of the Stephen Pearl era tonight. So we're going to hit all of that in our conversation with you. But let's talk the big news. A coaching change was made for Auburn, where Hugh Freeze no longer the head coach of Auburn football. A search is on. John Cohen and DJ Durkin spoke on Monday. Did you have a chance to listen to what they said? And if so, what did you think?
Yeah, I thought that, the guys said everything that you would want those two men to say. I thought John Cohen, especially in his remarks about, not wanting to say the word close and how the Auburn family has done everything that that they could possibly do. And it's time to win games. And I mean, I thought that resonated perfectly. And then, it's a really tough spot for DJ Durkin to be in, because coaches are this way. Like, you compartmentalize. And you guys know this. You got plenty of people you know that are in coaching. Coach Durkin right now is focused on Vanderbilt. And he would have loved to have gone into this week focusing on purely nothing but getting the defense ready for a really good Vanderbilt offensive team. But I thought he handled it really well. He said the right things. He's been leading the team with, the message about it's not just about what you do, but it's who does it and how you do it. We've been saying that in some form or fashion for weeks, and just in different ways. So, no, I thought John Cohen and DJ Durkin both have said everything that you would want them to say at this point, and nothing that you wouldn't want them to say.
And how did you feel about Cohen being asked when he wanted to have this done? Because of all the new dates and periods now of college football, he said he wants to have this thing wrapped up as quickly as he can when the Iron Bowl is done.
Yeah, I thought that was real. I thought that was particularly interesting. I think John Cohen's a really intelligent man who doesn't do very much, if anything, without it being premeditated. And especially when it comes to coaching, I thought it was interesting that he said he would like to announce, you know, as soon as possible after the Iron Bowl. Now, part of that is signing day. The first day of the early signing period is the Wednesday after the Iron Bowl. And it's tough to go through a signing day without a head coach. So you'd like to get there. But I just thought it was, I don't think you can read rash or off the cuff that he said it that way. To me, it signals there's a plan. And they know exactly what they're doing.
We got Brad Law here with us from the Auburn Sports Network on the phone lines here on the Thursday edition of On the Line. And while this doesn't necessarily pertain to this year, over the next couple of years, a home-and-home scheduled with Notre Dame in 2027, Auburn will travel to South Bend in 28. Notre Dame will return to Auburn. What is your thoughts on not necessarily the years, but the placements, right? I mean, Auburn will travel to South Bend in the middle of September, and then Notre Dame will return to Auburn in the middle of October. That question paired up with the fact that Auburn taking initiative and going ahead and scheduling that P4 team before a bunch of these other teams, or while you're seeing these other teams kind of back away with the uncertainty of college football. Your thoughts on tradition versus tradition, Auburn and Notre Dame?
No, I love it. I think everybody should be and is excited about it. I think it's been in the works for a while. I mean, they didn't just call it, you know, the two ADs didn't call each other on the phone a week ago and put this together. So they've negotiated, and you got to work with their schedule and Auburn's schedule. And part of the 9-game conference schedule is that every team is also going to play a power conference opponent or Notre Dame. And so, no, I like it. And I always think it's more like in this day where your traditional rivalries are played less and less, they're played fewer times, because you've got teams that aren't traditional rivals entering your conference now and taking up more of those games. To be able to play an opponent that you haven't played before and one with a name is exciting for everybody. So, yeah, I don't think I've seen one negative response to that news that came out yesterday.
And it just adds on to the sum that Auburn has already had, right, with Penn State and California, and you have a couple. I think Miami's still on the schedule for now, and we'll see if that becomes something, I guess, stays with what college football teams are doing, or if playing more conference games will defer teams from doing that. So very cool to see Auburn football decide to put Notre Dame on the schedule. But to bring it back to this season, Brad, even though a coaching change is made, and I'm sure it's chaotic in the football building this week, you do have a game to play as you go on the road and take on Vanderbilt. Quick trip up to Auburn North in Nashville, where Auburn takes on Vanderbilt. Got a little revenge on their minds, I'm sure, in trying to take down Diego Pavia in Nash Vegas. Your thoughts on what this game now could be with all the things that are going on outside the game?
Yeah, you remember how well the team galvanized against Texas A&M. That was a home game, and you had this atmosphere, and you started strong, and Auburn only won that game by 3 points. And so it's not like all of a sudden you became the Tom Brady Patriots, but the team was definitely galvanized with an interim coach 3 years ago. You're hoping to grab some of that same momentum. And then you're hoping that the momentum and emotion goes away early on in that ball game so that you can just get out and execute. And DJ Durkin's defense has had the mantra all year long. Doesn't matter who they play, when they play, where they play. This is a really good Vanderbilt offense in the sense that they will keep the ball away from you. Diego Pavia is a playmaker. He's one of the toughest players in our game in a long time. But Auburn's got 17 on that other side. And Xavier Atkins has become a heat-seeking missile as a spy against other quarterbacks. And 17 for Auburn, 2 for Vanderbilt is the one-on-one matchup that I am most looking forward to this season. Because if Atkins is able to track him and you're able to contain him, you got to cage him and keep him in the, you know, keep him from running wild. If you do that, you got a chance. I mean, it's and I would think it's right to expect another one of these low-scoring, white-knuckle no fingernails left kind of games at the end.
And this is, of course, a what-if and hypothetical question here, but if Auburn wins this game, Brad, what type of confidence does that give you or the fan base or the team heading into a bye week and then Mercer and then the Iron Bowl at home?
Yeah, it lets you exhale a little bit, and it keeps bowl eligibility on the table. This game is a massive game for bowl eligibility because if you win this one, then theoretically you get six against Mercer, and then – you know, you get this one. It also means, all right, now you've won two of three, and you should be winners of three out of your last four, and two in a row under an interim coach after the Mercer game, and now you're going in with all kind of momentum to the Iron Bowl. So, and enthusiasm for the crowd and things of that nature. And that Iron Bowl is probably going to be a night game, just looking at the rest of the schedule for that day. So, you know, yeah, if you go out and execute like you can for 3 hours against Vanderbilt, in the moment, you're only thinking about those 3 hours or specifically the very next play. But when you peel back and look at it bigger picture than that, yeah, it could mean a lot more.
And Brad, not wishing away football season quite yet, but we're in the middle of crossover season as Auburn basketball is underway for the second time here in the regular season of the 2025 season. Took overtime to defeat Bethune-Cookman at home. They get the chance to right a little bit of wrongs, try and build on some momentum here in the next couple of games before you take on the second-ranked Houston Cougars. What do you want to see from this team as they take on Merrimack tonight?
Yeah, going to overtime against Bethune-Cookman set off a lot of alarm bells for folks Monday night. And quite frankly, in the moment, I was one of them. I kind of was watching courtside with my arms folded a little bit and a little frustrated, as were the coaches, with how far ahead of the defense the offense was. Now, in the overtime, they clamped down a little more and started kind of understanding you got to be at a certain place at a certain time for a certain reason defensively. And that's what I want to see tonight is better defensive discipline out of this team. This is not a game that should be close at the end. It is still a brand new team, though. It is still players that have, you know, nobody's played for Auburn and understood the Auburn way outside of Tahad Pettiford. And it's the first time for him at the college level to be leading a team. It's his team now. So everything from leadership to just how you play together on the floor with all these players from different places. All those guys off last year's team, most of them played together the year before. So it's still very, very new, very green, and a lot of room to grow. You're just hoping you see that one next step in growth tonight. And I think that looks like better defensive discipline.
Have you seen the type of defense that Merrimack plays? I know you were talking Auburn's defense in particular, but I'll flip it to the Merrimack defense for the Warriors. I mean, they run a unique zone to where they spread it out so much, it ends up looking like a 4-1, which obviously is not very common. But what do you expect Auburn to do offensively to not get stuck in solo ball and play as a team and try to break that press and break that zone defense that they'll see tonight?
It's a great question, Jacob, because in the first half of the Bethune-Cookman game, they had 5 assists on 13 made field goals, 5 assists and 6 turnovers. Anytime your turnovers are more than your assists in a half, that's not good. They did better in the second half. I think they ended with 13 or 14 assists in the game. But you've got to either move the ball really rapidly and guys have to cut into the lane to take those passes, or you have to drive into the paint. And Auburn's got some good drivers on this team. And if you can drive it and maybe get that defense to cheat up a little bit, you've got some really good backdoor opportunities. The low post could be open on either side for Keyshawn Hall or for Filip Jovic. You've got guys on the backside that should be able to benefit from that. And the guys who slash and drive, whether it's with the ball or off ball to receive passes, those are the guys that you need to be active, not late to their spots, but active and on top of it tonight against that zone.
Auburn is in game two of the year. They'll host Merrimack tonight at Neville Arena with tip-off set for right around 7 o'clock. If you can't get to Neville Arena tonight, you can always listen to the radio broadcast here locally in Auburn Opelika over on Wings 94.3 as you guys go on the air about 6:45, right, Brad, with tip-off set for 7 o'clock tonight?
6:30.
That's right. I forget. You guys are better than us. We for basketball, man. If we get a 10-minute pregame in for high school, we're doing something right.
Yeah. No, we got the SEC report, Stephen Pearl pregame. We got the 60-second scout. We got Coach Dickey's keys. We got, and Andy needs to talk a little too. So we got our full 30 minutes lined up, ready to go at 6:30 tonight.
Yeah, 6:30. Apologies. Pregame starts at 6:30 with tip at 7. That's tonight for Auburn men's basketball on Wings 94.3. Starts 3 days worth of fantastic content on Wings with men's basketball tonight for Auburn. We've got Auburn High football on there for the playoffs tomorrow, and then your football broadcast coming up on Saturday afternoon, Brad. So tell the people what they need to know about that as well.
Yeah, football Saturday. You guys get it started with phone calls at 10 and a lot of talk about the game, and then we're on the air at 12 o'clock with the Tiger Tailgate Show. We have Al Del Greco, a former Auburn kicker.
Yeah,
in the 80s.
Yeah.
We have Dorian Maiusi, who is in a bye week with the Tennessee Titans, as we go to Nashville.
Nice.
We'll talk to a Titan and a guy who knows a little bit about playing linebacker for DJ Durkin. We'll talk with him. And then Anthony Harris, a former Auburn linebacker in the early 90s, he helped lead a goal line stand to preserve a win over Vanderbilt that preserved Auburn's perfect season in 1993. So we'll talk with those guys and have a lot of other good stuff coming your way starting at noon Saturday on Wings.
We're looking forward to it. Brad, we appreciate you as always, my friend. Brad Law of the Auburn Sports Network. You do a great job, as does everybody else, and we're always just thankful to have you on for a few minutes because I know it's a busy time. So enjoy tonight, enjoy the weekend, and we'll talk to you again next Thursday.
Always a pleasure. War Eagle, guys.
War Eagle. That's Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network. Again with us every Thursday, 2:30, right here during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. And as I mentioned, yes, a busy couple of days on Wings 94.3 with men's basketball tonight for Auburn, Auburn High football in the playoffs tomorrow, and then Auburn University football on Saturday. So just keep that radio dial. As soon as we're all done here on ESPN, flip it over there, and you'll have full coverage with all sorts of stuff going on Wings 94.3. We'll take our final break at hour number one. Come back and talk a little Thursday night football in the NFL before we get into hour number two, where we're talking more high school football, college football, and beyond. So keep it right here on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin, online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Wrapping up hour number one here on ESPN 106.7. Thanks to Brad Law for the Auburn Sports Network, or from the Auburn Sports Network, who, again, he joins us every Thursday. And I think that was a good segment. I think he held his own. I think he pulled his weight. That segment did Mr. Law. So we appreciate him and, of course, our relationship with the Auburn Sports Network. With men's basketball coming up tonight over on Wings 94.3, pregame at 6:30 with tip-off at 7. My instinct wants to say pregame 6:30, kickoff at 7, but it's tip-off for basketball tonight. So that's for Auburn against Merrimack on Wings tonight. You've got football on Saturday for Auburn on Wings. You'll have women's basketball for Auburn here on ESPN 106.7 on Saturday afternoon. They go on at 12:45, does Britt Bowen, with tip-off set for 1 o'clock at Neville Arena. So we'll have that broadcast for you here on ESPN 106.7. And then Tiger Talk will loop back next Monday night. So all sorts of good stuff going on with the Auburn Sports Network.
How long until you say kickoff for Auburn High basketball, or you say some sort of incorrect verbiage?
It's there? Normally for me,
because again, I told you last year, mine was false start with travels. It happened two or three times
yeah.
before I realized.
I think for me, it's normally the pregame shows, having to flip my brain from the countdown to kickoff to countdown to tip off. That's the one that normally gets me. It normally takes me two or three games, and sometimes I literally write it out to be like, okay, this is the countdown to tip-off because we are in basketball, which I was over at Auburn High today and testing equipment and everything, and we have our first basketball broadcast on Tuesday for Auburn High basketball.
Holy cow.
Yeah, ask me if I'm ready. The answer is no.
Are you ready?
Okay. No.
That was
I'm
rhetorical.
Not really.
Ours is for Lee Scott. Set for next Friday. I would love to not call it. Not a shot at Lee Scott basketball.
I'll let Coach Johnson or Coach Harrison. I'll let them know.
Nope. Yeah. Not a shot at them whatsoever, but it would be Friday night.
Yeah.
And I would.
Which is
love to be
possibly
on
the second round of the playoffs
yeah.
for football. So, yeah, you guys have that on the schedule, but it's got a little asterisk to it right now because, I mean, unless you are sending Rhett to call playoff football and you want to call the basketball opener, that would be okay.
He'd probably be okay with that.
he definitely would be okay.
Or he'd be okay with the other way around, honestly.
But. Yeah, true. Either way, yeah, you guys have that on the schedule for Lee Scott. If you win for football, you're playing next Friday, so we'll have to scratch that. But if for any reason football were to lose, then you'll be on the air next Friday for basketball for Lee Scott. But, yeah, I will be on the air tomorrow, obviously, for football, Auburn High versus Vestavia. And then Tuesday is the opener for the boys. And then boys and girls play next Thursday. That's also on the road in Montgomery. And if we are in the playoffs for football on Friday, we're going to have to hop in the car and drive like 3.5 hours. So we probably won't call those games on that Thursday. So kind of a lot up in the air right now with crossover season. So we'll update you on all of our schedules kind of as we go. But again, thanks to Brad Law for joining us on the phone lines as he always does on Thursdays.
And we'll give ourselves a little bit of grace for not starting. Again, we went 1 week where we were supposed to talk NFL football to start the Thursday show, but enough news going around Auburn to not start the Thursday show with it. So we'll give ourselves all of 45 seconds before the music starts, and we got to leave. 7-2 Broncos take on the 2-6 Raiders. Broncos and Bo Nix, one of the weirder teams in the NFL. One of the teams that you feel like you don't need to watch three quarters of, but you watch the fourth quarter, and they look absolutely incredible, but they're favored by right around 9.5, 10 points in this game. Does Brock Bowers coming back make any sort of change on the way that this game is going to be played for Geno Smith?
I mean, I think it'll change it, sure, but I don't think he's enough for the Raiders to win this thing. I mean, why are the Broncos 7-2? Like, and they're undefeated at home also, which is a big deal, and they're at home tonight. Their losses are to the Colts by one, which is I hate this term, but a good loss.
And that was, they had a re-kick in that game.
That's right. That was week two. Yeah, that's right. A 3-point loss to the Chargers, and that's it. They have two losses by 4 points.
And that was a game winner for the Chargers.
It was, yeah. They've beat the Titans, the Bengals, which those teams are bad. Eagles is a good win. Jets is not. Giants is fine. Cowboys is eh. Texas is eh. So their resume isn't great, but they're beating the teams on their schedule. I'll take the Broncos, man. Give me Bo Nix. Give me the Broncos.
By 9.5 or just?
Yeah, I don't think I'm touching that. For entertainment purposes only, I'll take the Raiders plus the points. Just to make it interesting.
Sure, why not? I'll take the Raiders.
Bo Nix walks it off.
I'm just kidding. A walk-off needs a game-winning drive.
Yeah, game-winning drive for Bo Nix.
Why not have a little flair, have a little dramatics?
Yeah, Thursday Night Football. There you go. But we have more things to talk about, including high school football, as Auburn High will host Vestavia Hills tomorrow night at the Duck. We'll talk to the man who's in charge of Auburn High School football. Head coach Keith Etheridge joins us to start hour number two.
The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what Sports Talk Radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. It is the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. Across from me is Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us on a beautiful day in the Auburn Opelika area. And we're getting underway in hour number two, which means you may or may not have missed hour number one. And if you did, don't worry. We'll post the audio for you on our station website right after the show at ESPNAU.com in the podcast center. In hour number one, we talked more Auburn University coaching search as Brent Key at Georgia Tech released a pretty fiery statement today that may have taken himself out of the Auburn race. And so talked about that today, plus a little Auburn basketball as Stephen Pearl and the Tigers back inside Neville Arena taking on Merrimack. And we also talked with Brad Law of the Auburn Sports Network about all those things and more. So that was in the first hour. If you missed it, check it out on ESPNAU.com. It's our station website in the podcast center. And here in hour number two, we're going to start looking ahead to big games this weekend in college football. We'll talk with Chris Gordy of Locked on SEC, but we start the show, or start the hour rather, as we have every single Thursday in football season with this guy on the phone lines, and he's one of my favorite dudes in the world. He's got his team playing fantastic football and preparing for a home playoff game at Duck Sanford Stadium. We've got head coach Keith Etheridge of Auburn High School football on the phone lines with us now. What's going on, coach? How are you on this Thursday?
Doing great, Jacob. How you doing, brother?
Doing fantastic. I'm ready to get back in that stadium. What do you think?
Yeah. It's going to be good. Nice being back at the Duck.
Yes,
that's for sure.
It will. Just back on the field in general as your team wrapped up the regular season a couple of weeks ago, right, going on the road to Dothan and getting an electrifying win, a comeback win with a J.D. Pate quarterback comeback for your guys. And so you wrap up the regular season, you have a bye week, and now you prepare for the postseason. I mean, summarize what this season has been like for you and your guys, Coach.
Well, it's been a great year. You know, there have been some ups and downs, you know, and we said at the beginning of the year that we're a fairly young team. You know, we're going to get better and better as the year goes on. We've got some great senior leadership, you know, and we have done that. I think we've gotten better each week. I think that the growth has been probably as good as we've had since I've been here at Auburn High School. You know, we replaced a lot of really good football players from last year, and these guys have really came in and bought in and done what we asked them to do. And to have a first round home playoff game in the region that we play in is, you know, that's all you can ask for these guys. I mean, they have really laid it on the line this year.
Auburn High 8-2 overall in the regular season, 5-1 in Region 2 play, only loss coming to Central Phoenix City in region. But the other loss was to that Vestavia Hills team on a Thursday night all the way back in August, Coach. It was late August, and it's crazy to think back that far and how fast this season has moved, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. But you look at what this season overall has been and what your guys have been through. I mean, you have to feel like you're battle-tested now heading into the postseason because of the region we play in.
Oh, yeah. You know, in our non-region games, I mean, we opened up with Booker out of Sarasota, Florida, who right now they're 9-1 going into their state playoffs. And, you know, they're one of the top-ranked teams in the state of Florida. You know, we played Vestavia. We played Moody, who's one of the top teams. So, you know, it's our non-region schedule was pretty tough, too. So, really proud of these guys and, you know, what they've done this year and, you know, just the leadership that these seniors have brought to this program and all the things that they've done to you know, just they're just great young men that have worked their, you know, way up to being a really good football team.
Well, back-to-back years, you guys will get to host the first round of the playoffs at Duck Sanford Stadium. Yep. Bob Jones a year ago, and now Vestavia Hills this season. It's the 2 seed out of Region 2 and the 3 seed out of Region 3. But if folks were to look at the statewide rankings, Coach, somehow we've got a top 5 matchup in Round 1. I don't know how that goes down.
It's crazy, man. It really is crazy. Vestavia's ranked number 2 in the state. We're ranked number 4 in the state right now on Saturday. So, you know, it's number 2 against number 4, and number 2's on the road. it is really crazy, you know, the way things have worked out. And for to have a first-round game and have 2 of the top 5 teams in the state playing in the first round, you know, it's kind of weird how that worked out, but, you know, it's tough, man, because, you know, one of the best teams in the state, regardless who it is going home tomorrow night after the game. And that's kind of tough. You know, on the other side, you got Central and Hoover playing.
Yeah.
Who's two of the other top two teams in the state. I mean, top 10 teams in the state. So, you know, you have these first round games and they're matching up with teams who are, you know, just top 10 teams. And, you know, these are games that should be, you know, quarterfinal, semifinal games and state championship games. So, you know, you got to end up playing everybody though, you know. But you really would think of the number two and number four team would probably play in the semifinals to go to the state championship game.
Yeah, well, you mentioned some of those other matchups. Again, 7A Alabama High School football playoffs begin tomorrow across the state, Auburn and Vestavia. You've got Opelika heading up to Hewitt-Trussville. You mentioned Hoover, Central Phoenix City. Carver Montgomery's got to go to Thompson. I mean, some heavyweight fights in the first round of the playoffs. But Auburn will host Vestavia Hills at Duck Sanford Stadium. We're talking with head coach Keith Etheridge of Auburn High School football here on ESPN 106.7. And we mentioned the game on August 28th on a Thursday night at Vestavia, first road trip of the season. And it just didn't go our way, coach. 42-14 was the final score there. But you get a chance at a rematch. You get a chance at redemption, revenge, whatever word you want to use this week, coach. I'll leave that up to you. But what do you take from that game and maybe how your team has changed between then and now to have you guys better prepared for tomorrow night?
Well, you know, anytime you lose a game like that, you know, it's humbling. You know, I haven't lost many like that in my career. You know, it's a humbling experience. You know, they jumped on us fast. We turned the ball over. You know, and they've got a really good football team. Vestavia has a great football team. They're well coached. You know, Coach Evans and his staff do an amazing job. And they, you know, they. You know, that first game, hats off to them. They played great football, and we didn't play that well. So, you know, they showed some of our weaknesses, and, you know, and it has given us some stuff to work on, you know, during the season. And I think that our kids have done that. You can learn a lot of things from a loss. You know, I tell our kids that all the time. You know, you just don't want to learn from you can't learn from a loss at the end of the year. In the playoffs,
sure.
You know, all you learn is how to take up equipment. So, you know, we're going in there with that mindset of, you know, this is kind of a get back game. You know, we get an opportunity. I told our kids, you know, life usually don't give you these opportunities. You know, usually you lose a game, you don't get to play that team again unless it's like in the semifinals or state championship if you get an opportunity to. But we get that opportunity, and, you know, we're going to go try to make the most of it.
Well, we expect the Duck to be slam-packed tomorrow night with Auburn High fans. And look, you and I were talking earlier today. The expectation is that Vestavia Hills is going to bring a lot of their folks down here too.
Oh, they will. They absolutely will. You know, Vestavia travels well, just like our Auburn folks do. So you can expect to have a really good Vestavia crowd also. But we need every one of our Auburn fans, you know, in the stands and packing out the Duck.
Well, it'll be a lot of fun, and so if you can't get out to the Duck tomorrow night, you can listen to us on the radio broadcast. We'll have it for you over on Wings 94.3, WingsFM.com, that Radio Alabama app. Jack Hudden, Rob Pate, and myself, we're really looking forward to what should be one of the best games of the year. It's the statewide game of the week, and everybody's excited for that as well. And not to look ahead, because I know you guys aren't wanting to, coach, but just to let the fans know kind of what's going on. Auburn-Vestavia tomorrow, paired up with Sparkman and Daphne. So if we do pull this off, we got to make a long road trip, either 3 hours and 20 minutes south or 3 hours and 45 minutes north, coach, and those are long road trips.
Yeah, well, like you said, we're not going to look ahead, but, you know, I would love to be on the road next week. I would love to have that opportunity.
That'd be a blessing, wouldn't it? Be a blessing to make a road trip.
It sure would.
Absolutely.
We'd gladly make a road trip wherever we needed to make it, you know, as long as we're still playing. I tell our kids all the time, you know, I don't really, you know, I love winning. You know, and I want to win, but the biggest thing is every week we get to win in the state playoffs. It just gives me an extra week to spend with these guys, and that means a lot to me and this coaching staff. You know, we just want to be able to be around these guys as long as we possibly can, and do everything we can to help them become better men.
Head coach Keith Etheridge of Auburn High School Football with us on the phone lines now. And before I let you go, coach, because I know you won't bring it up and you don't want to make this about yourself, but there's a couple of milestones you could achieve tomorrow night, not just with a win in the playoffs. You could pick up, I believe I'm right on this, your 50th win at Auburn High and your 200th win all time as a head coach. Is that right?
One of them I didn't know about. The other one, you know, a couple of people have been telling me that. So I have to check the record. I don't know. I think, you know, my wife has said that a couple of times. If you win 9 games next year, you know, you'll have 200. So she said that a couple of times. So they kind of keep up with it more than I do.
Okay. Well, hey,
I'm just
man.
I'm just trying to win the next.
I understand. You leave that type of stuff to us radio guys, and you just handle the important stuff about winning games. And we'll talk about why it's awesome. How about that?
Well, I hope we get to talk about it after today.
I do too, Coach. Man, we appreciate you. I appreciate you big time. And I hope that we do get to have several more conversations on the radio in person as well with this season extending. So we're looking forward to tomorrow night, man. Go get them tomorrow. We appreciate you. Go Tigers.
Thank you, Jacob, man. Thank y'all for everything y'all do. Y'all have been blessing to our program and these young men. And y'all have no idea how much y'all mean to us. Thank you. God bless, and go Tigers.
Go Tigers. That is Auburn High's head football coach, Keith Etheridge, with us on ESPN 106.7. With us every single Thursday during football season to start hour number two, and it is the Tigers and the Rebels. It's Auburn and Vestavia tomorrow night on Wings 94.3, wingsfm.com, that Radio Alabama app. So if you can't get to the Duck, I don't even know if tickets are still on sale. My guess is probably not, but I recommend you listen on the radio broadcast. We're going to have fun tomorrow night. Pregame 6:30 with kickoff at 7. We'll take a break, come back, and we'll talk a little college football as we look ahead to what's coming up this weekend before Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC joins us, the host of the Locked On SEC podcast. He'll join us at 3:30 to make his picks, and I'm sure he has nothing but great things to say about Auburn making a coaching change. So that's all coming up here on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
Christian has been kicked out of the booth. He is no longer a part of this show for reasons I cannot explain, but it was a matter of disrespect, and I have since removed him. So back to the glory days of Jacob hosting this show by himself for 2 hours, Monday through Friday, and you're just going to have to like it. So are you ready to apologize? Nope, he's not. Okay, well, no, I'm not turning your mic back on. You can sit over there and holler if you want. I don't care. Yeah, there you go. So we're talking college football. All right, talking college football here on ESPN. And thank you to Coach Etheridge for joining us on the phone lines. Again, every Thursday during football season, and we'll carry that through as long as the Tigers are winning. And so they have Vestavia Hills coming up tomorrow night over at Duck Sanford Stadium. Again, if you can't make it out there, you can join us on the radio broadcast on Wings 94.3 with pregame starting at 6:30 and kickoff at 7. And Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC is going to join us coming up here in just a little bit at 3:30. And we'll talk to him, of course, about the Auburn coaching news and about the other coaching changes and then the games coming up this weekend. But I think it's appropriate for us to look at what's coming up this weekend. And it seems like we haven't talked any other college football since Auburn fired Hugh Freeze, and that's obviously been the dominating storyline. But some interesting games this weekend, and a couple that were supposed to be good that may not be anymore. You quietly have a top 10 matchup in the Big 12 this weekend, 11 a.m. on ABC on Saturday. You can keep laughing. What are you laughing at? What?
Nothing.
Okay, cool. Got it. You forget I did that, dude. I could kill a 10-minute segment. I ain't worried about it. Are you good? Are you?
Yeah, I'd like to take this time to apologize.
Yeah.
To absolutely.
No, it's fine.
I almost played that clip on air and realized that he said a naughty word, and I chose not to. That would have been really bad.
Yes, he says
the king does what he wants, and we'll stop right there.
Yeah, the FCC would not be happy if you played that one. So
no, I am deeply sorry.
Thank you. Okay, apology almost accepted. Yeah, college football. Unless
you wanted
weekend.
To talk about how good the ACC is for the next.
Oh God.
You did it yesterday.
I did. I did come to the defense of the ACC yesterday against my soul. I did go into defense mode for them. But looking at this weekend, all right, in college football, because again, we're going to talk about these games, and we'll pick our games tomorrow as well on the show. You have LSU-Alabama. That was supposed to be good. It may or may not be. You have Indiana-Penn State, which was supposed to be a top 10 game. It probably won't be. Heck, you could throw Auburn-Vanderbilt in that conversation. That was supposed to be good. And it might be, but at least on paper, it's not. Right? And I was saying, you have a top 10 matchup in the Big 12 this weekend.
Yeah, both of those teams currently in the college football playoff at BYU and Texas Tech. And that was what started that rant with the ACC about how Virginia was the one conference representative, but Louisville is right there and right behind them, and Georgia Tech wants to still have a say, and so they need every other conference to go a little bit haywire so that way they only get that one representative. And if that's the case, I mean, Texas Tech is 10.5-point favorites at home.
God, that
against
seems
BYU,
like a lot.
It feels like a lot of points. Are we both in agreement that we need Oregon to just roll?
Yeah.
Because if Iowa,
I need
if
it for
Iowa
multiple
beats,
reasons, but
yes,
yeah.
But if Iowa beats Oregon and Iowa goes to 7-2,
God, that's so. Oh, they're so toxic. They already think they're a good team, and they're not.
They think they are in the college football playoff.
That's laughable.
Talking about the Hawkeyes, yeah,
yeah, talking about Iowa again. I got caught in a huge Big Ten argument a week or so ago with Iowa people saying that I did not think they were a top 25 team, and you would have thought I shot their mom. Like, I mean, it's just like they,
wow,
they were like, not like jokingly furious. They were mad. And I said, what has Iowa done? They have wins over Albany, UMass, Rutgers, Wisconsin, Penn State, and Minnesota.
The next 2 weeks will tell you everything.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Oregon,
I said, cool.
And then at USC.
Yeah, I said, cool, put them in the top 25, and when Oregon drops 40 on them, then we'll forget about it.
Yeah.
And we'll go back to Kirk Ferentz being a joke of a head coach at Iowa.
And then even after that, Michigan State and at Nebraska,
yeah,
you're staring at the barrel of 1-3.
But their argument was, well, we lost close to Iowa State and Indiana. Cool. Yeah. Guess what?
We should have beat Indiana.
You lost. Nobody likes close wins or close losses better than the Big Ten, dude.
And nobody hates talking about quality losses more than the two of us.
Oh, I hate it. I can't stand it. So, yeah, BYU-Texas Tech this weekend is a top 10 matchup. 7th-ranked BYU and 8th-ranked Texas Tech. How about Missouri hosting Texas A&M Saturday afternoon, 2:30 on ABC. A&M third, Missouri is 22nd. A&M favored by almost a touchdown on the road in Como. Missouri has to have it.
Yeah, this
you literally have to have it.
This is a playoff or bust type of game for Missouri. You've lost two of your last three. Very easily could have been three of your last three if Auburn would have done literally anything inside of Jordan Hare. But you now get to host in Como, which we're not going to sit here and act like that's the toughest places or the toughest place to play in the entire country. Marcel Reed has been phenomenal this year. Almost 2,000 yards, 17 touchdowns through the air, and now that the season has progressed, he's continuing to use his legs a little bit more. You saw that against LSU where he had over 100 yards. That was a lot more of the last year, Marcel Reed, and man, if that starts coming back to life, this A&M team, who Jacob is beginning to give a little bit more credit to, another win on the road, regardless of who it is, Missouri, where you're only favored by a touchdown, if you can go into Como and win, move to 9-0, that almost guarantees you a spot in the college football playoff because it's South Carolina, Samford, and Texas to follow.
Here's my argument, okay?
Even if you lose this game, if Missouri beats South Carolina and Samford and your two losses are at Missouri and at Texas, I still think you're in.
I just don't know, man.
With a loss on the road at Notre Dame, that would be the win that holds you over everything at Notre Dame and at LSU?
Yeah, I mean, A&M is going to get credit for beating Notre Dame, and they should. Obviously, they did. I'm saying more so from they're going to get credit for beating a playoff team in Notre Dame, even though I don't think Notre Dame deserves to be a playoff team, but they're going to get that resume win because of it. But here's my issue. Other than that, they beat Auburn, not a playoff team. They beat Mississippi State, not a playoff team. Florida, not a playoff team. Arkansas, not a playoff team. LSU, not a playoff team. Even if they beat Missouri this weekend, guess what? Not a playoff team. South Carolina, not a playoff team. And then Texas. If they win that, that would also knock Texas out and make them not a playoff team. Now, I understand the argument that you can still be a good team even if you're not in the college football playoff. But from my standpoint of believing in this A&M team to win a national title, I don't give them credit for that because they somehow have dodged every bullet on this schedule. Every single one of them, other than Notre Dame, who, again, I don't think is a college football playoff team. And so maybe that's just me being a hater. I don't know. I've accepted that when it comes to A&M. But
haterade.
There's a chance that they go undefeated and they maybe have a one singular win over a current playoff team, which is a high, it's a high bar. It's a high standard. I get it.
And I do think that A&M beating a team to no longer make them a playoff team is a little bit of a shot at A&M, I guess.
Yeah, it's fair.
If Texas is a playoff team, but A&M beats them to make them out of the playoffs, A&M should be punished for that win.
Yeah, that's fair. But still.
We're still on the same relative boat.
Take all the arguments out of it, just my opinion, I don't think A&M is a national title contender. I would take six or seven other teams. I got you that time. So stupid. I would take seven or six other teams, which I think they still laugh. I think the kids laugh at that one too.
I didn't laugh until I looked up from my computer, and you're sitting there pointing at me.
I think there's a 4-1 or something now. There's a I don't know. Either way, I would take more than
– how many times does that happen when you call football games?
A lot.
I get like two or three of them a game.
Yeah.
And Red is obviously – Red is a child when it comes to that.
Oh,
and
Red.
And we sit with the Lee Scott Camera kids who are in there as well. We had one at Realtown where – Max Hammer avoided a sack for 6 or 7 yards, and I heard a giggle through the other headset, and I looked over, and every single one of them, all three of them, are sitting there smirking at me doing the hand motions.
And you know that Rhett started it. Rhett absolutely
100%.
Started it.
He was the one that gave the other, Osment calls him this so I can call him this, the vidiots. Video. He was 100% gave them permission to look at me and...
Anyway, I would take Ohio State, Indiana, Alabama, Georgia, Oregon, at least those five. I would take those five teams to win the national title right now before I would take Texas A&M. That's my point. That's my argument.
And Miami, right?
Yeah. I'm sorry, did you say Virginia? Yeah, I'll take the ACC. God, the conference is so bad. We'll talk to a guy that hates the ACC as much as I do, Chris Gordy, the host of Locked On SEC. He joins us next.
We're halfway through hour number two. You've got 30 more minutes of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He is Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. We appreciate you being with us, and we roll right along in a guest-heavy show this afternoon here in Auburn Opelika. And we welcome in our guy Chris Gordy, the host of the Locked On SEC podcast, who's been with us for a long, long time here on the show. Are you generating a bunch of views and clicks on YouTube because Auburn fired their coach, or is it for another reason this week, Chris?
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, maybe not as much as last week, but with Brian Kelly, but still up there, still a lot of interest. Yeah, man, it's wild that I've done four of these already of you know, week-long reaction shows to coaches in the SEC being fired. And, you know, we got four down, and we'll see if any more will happen before the season ends.
Would you rank them in terms of, I guess, the uproar or the the attention on them would be Brian Kelly, Hugh Freeze, Billy Napier, and then Sam Pittman? Is that how you would rank them in terms of people's interest?
Yeah, and you know, depending on, you know, where you are, I mean, some people would say they think Florida is the second best job behind LSU, and you know, there's some that I think you can make a case for Auburn, you know, just because of. Yeah, I was talking to somebody about this yesterday because Joel Klatt made, you know, national news saying, "Oh, Auburn, you're not even a top five program in your conference, and you're little brother in the state of Alabama and all this." And I'm going, yet they've gotten to and won, you know, won a national championship, got to another, you know, in the past 15, 20 years. You've had, you know, top 10 recruiting classes under Hugh Freeze. I mean, you know, all those things working against them, and yet they're doing just fine with all this talent. It's just come down to the coaching wasn't there, and they couldn't win football games. But, you know, if you're going to poo-poo on Auburn about resources and stuff like that, I don't think that's the way to go because they're not lacking in talent.
Well, Chris, before we take a step back and look at last week or take a step forward, look at this weekend, what is your personal opinion? Are you in the John Sumrall camp for Auburn, or is there somebody else that's kind of taking that lead in your opinion?
Yeah, my whole opinion on all this has changed from a standpoint of I don't care about winning the press conference. And by that, I mean the day that the coach is hired and getting all excited and all this, because I thought when Brian Kelly was hired, I thought that was a home run hire for LSU. When,
sure.
When Hugh Freeze was hired at Auburn, I thought that was a home run hire for them. And both of them turned out to be duds. So, you know, somebody pointed this out to me. They said, you look around the college football world and look at all the first-time head coaches that are turning out to be good. Dan Lanning at Oregon, Ryan Day at Ohio State. I mean, you know, the list goes on and on. I don't know if landing a big name, quote unquote, is the way to go anymore. You know, I think you go try to get an up and comer. You know, even if it's a coordinator on somebody else's staff that maybe doesn't get people excited, I think that still is, you know, like think outside the box here. This day and age of NIL and transfer portal and all that, I don't know if you need the big $13 million a year flashy name. I just don't think you need that now. So, yeah, I just say that as a precursor of, look, if Auburn hires somebody that, you know, is maybe off the radar or wasn't on that top five list that the sports book set, don't get discouraged because it doesn't matter. You don't win games at a press conference in December or January. You win games in the fall with good coaching. And so, yeah, I mean, you know, that said, look, I like Kenny Dillingham a lot. I was very impressed with what he's done these last 2 years at Arizona State.
Mm-hmm.
Young, brings a ton of energy. I think he's up there. I think John Sumrall, obviously what he's done, what he did at Troy and what he's doing at Tulane is fantastic. So I think either of those guys would be great, but you know, does it have to go be a James Franklin or something like that? No, I don't think Auburn needs that.
No, we do not speak of James Franklin in this studio, Chris. We are not James, or I am not James Frank, a fan of him.
Jacob's a big Jimbo Fisher guy.
Oh, God, that may be worse.
Yeah, I laughed when I saw Jimbo's name on LSU's list and Auburn's list. I'm just like, don't, you know, and this is where the idiot decision makers come in. I mean, it's like the big money people are the ones that have voices in this, and those are the ones that are like, man, Jimbo's a good coach. What are you talking about? It's like, okay, let's let some people who actually know football into the room to make these decisions before you just write a big fat check for a name you want. And again, that's where I say, like, don't be wowed by the names. Look, A&M almost got Mark Stoops, and then they settled for Mike Elko. They liked Mike Elko because he was former defensive coordinator there, but he was also the Duke coach. You know what I mean? So it's not exactly like they went and got the top name out there. In fact, some A&M fans didn't like to hire. So that's where I say, like, I think I'm out on the whole, you know, go wow me with a hire. Look, USC landed their number one pick in Lincoln Riley. How's that worked out? So it's not always about winning the hire.
Well, Chris, I want to ask you, with all these P4 openings, especially in the SEC, but then just around the country, of course, Penn State being the big one outside of the SEC. I mean, how much do these schools legitimately have to fight over coaching candidates? I mean, yeah, there's a lot of names out there, but it seems like every time you turn around, LSU, Florida, and Auburn and Penn State are all in the same boat trying to hire the same five or six guys.
Well, it's because it's the flavor of the month, right? It's whoever's the hot name. And this changes year to year. Yeah, I say it all the time in NFL circles. There will be a guy who's the hot offensive coordinator who is up for, you know, oh, this guy's going to be the next big head coach. And then he doesn't get hired. And then that next year, their offense takes a big step back. And guess what? He misses his window. It happens all the time with programs that go on a run. If you're one of these guys at a smaller school and you have a great run, go jump ship when you can, you know, sell high and get out and go take the next big thing. And so, yeah, like I said, I mean, John Summerall's a hot name right now, but what happens if he loses three out of his last four and Tulane goes 7-5 and then next year goes 6-6? Guess what? That name isn't hot anymore. You cool off. Same thing with Brent Key. Georgia Tech's been awesome. But what if they lose their last three and then next year they have a down year? It's just, it's all about who's the hot name at the right time. And that's why it's a lot of these same names being thrown around here. But that's why I say, like, think outside the box a little bit. And you know, some Auburn people I've talked to, they like the idea of if DJ Durkin inspires his team and they play hard the last couple of weeks, why not just take the interim tag off of him, pay him obviously way less than you would pay a top 10 highest paid coach, and take all that extra money and go get one of the best offensive coordinators out there. Mm-hmm. You know, I think there's a compelling argument to be made for that. And why? Because it worked with Ed Ogeron, you know, at LSU. At the end of the day, he got fired, but he still had the greatest season in college football ever. And he was the interim that they removed the interim and they went out and got some big coordinators. And, you know, people forget Joe Brady wasn't even the offensive coordinator that year for LSU. It was Steve Ensminger, but Joe Brady was a hot young name they pulled from the Saints, and he helped bring some NFL concepts, and look at what happened. So, you know, same thing. Ryan Day wasn't, you know, a super successful guy before he got the Ohio State job, but he's currently the reigning national champion. So, like I said, you know, we'll see where this goes, but, like, I just think with all the money you're paying for buyouts and all the money that's being paid to players now, you know, Auburn's defense has been an absolute strength ever since DJ Durkin stepped on campus. I can make a compelling argument for making him the head coach and, you know, just getting a good offensive mind in there. But I also push back on the people who want to talk about, oh, well, look at his record at Maryland. That was forever ago. And show me any coaches that are winning at Maryland. I mean, that's an impossible job.
Chris, I think you hit on it really nicely. I think Auburn's just waiting for Joe Brady to pick up the phone and make his way down to the Plains. He might bring Josh Allen with him if that's the case. But you mentioned something, and I wanted to ask the question, and we've had conversations on it here on the show over the past month or so since James Franklin, and now you continue to work it to where every single Sunday it feels like there's a coach that loses his job, on just the entire conversation of buyouts, right? I mean, are we ever going to get back to the point of you pay a coach X amount of dollars, it's, say that's back down to $2 million, but then there's stipends for 6 wins, 8 wins, 10 wins, and then you get a little bit more for winning the conference and making the playoff, and a big bonus if you win the national championship, or is market value just at the point of where it's too high and nobody's ever going to go back?
Yeah, I mean, that's the reality is, you know, you've already opened Pandora's box. There's no going back. The agents aren't suddenly going to go, okay, yeah, we'll take less money. I mean, that's just not how it works.
Yeah.
And the problem is you're always in a bidding war. You know, it's like, you guys ever been to one of those really ritzy events where they have a live auction and, you know, people have been liquored up a little bit and suddenly before you know it, you're bidding $3,000 on a bottle of bourbon that's worth $80? Like, that's what the coaching search has become.
You're speaking from stories, right, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, that's what it is. It's like these idiot athletic directors where it's like you sign a coach to a 5-year, you know, deal and making top money in the league and he has a great year. The response to that should be, hey, great job. You are living up to your contract. But what always happens is, hey, my guy's outplaying his contract or out earning his contract. He deserves a raise. you better come give him a raise, because if you don't give him a raise, he might be getting the wandering eye. He might go to this school or that school. And so, and the ADs are so stupid to fall for it. They go, yes, let's lock him up. I mean, Kurt Cignetti, my God, nice season last year at Indiana. He's having a nice year this year. But, I mean, I can convince you that he's going to fall off the face of the earth next year and not be a good coach anymore. But yet he's one of the top 10 highest paid coaches now. I mean, it's wild how this thing works. And again, it's all about in the moment. But, you know, everybody laughed at the Louisiana governor last week, making fun of him. But if you actually listen to what he said, he made some compelling arguments. Yes, these contracts should be incentive laden. Yes, you get an extra, I don't know, $1 million if you win the national championship. Like, put those kind of incentives in here and make them go earn it instead of Hugh Freeze and Brian Kelly, who both look like the minute they signed those contracts, were ready to kick back in the lazy boy, put their feet up and go, well, I've achieved everything I needed to in life. Like, the hunger was not there. Hugh was more worried about his tea time than he was about offensive schemes. Brian Kelly was more worried about where he was having dinner that week than, you know, putting up a game plan for Vanderbilt. So, yeah, that's where I just say, like, I don't know how you put the toothpaste back in the tube. We're already here. So, but again, I'm all for it. Make incentive laden contracts instead of giving these guys 50, 60 million guaranteed. It's absolutely absurd.
Our guy Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC with us on the phone lines right now, spitting fire about what's going on in college football in 2025. And as much as we may or may not want to talk about it, there are games this weekend in the SEC on the gridiron. And it's a week across the board in college football that isn't as good, I think, as we were wanting it to be. Auburn, Vanderbilt, Georgia, Mississippi State. I mean, you got Ole Miss hosting the Citadel this weekend, right? LSU, Alabama, of course, not what it was supposed to be. Florida, Kentucky is as gross as it gets. But how about Texas A&M and Missouri? We were talking before we brought you on. Third-ranked team in the country on the road in Como, where Missouri needs a win to keep their playoff hopes alive. Huh, Chris?
Yeah, I'm really tempted to take this as an upset special. I mean, I wish it was a night game in Como, because weird things happen at night games in the SEC on the road. But I like this Missouri team. They need to get back to doing what they work for them all year, and that's running the football. Look, A&M's defense has been fine. It hasn't been lights out. You know, I mean, Notre Dame moved the ball all over on them, scored a ton of points. They started improving in the defensive metrics when they were playing teams like Auburn and, you know, Florida, teams that were kind of inept on offense. So I think Mizzou, look, Matt Zollers is going to have a lot of pressure on him. If Bo Prabula was still the quarterback, I would absolutely be on Mizzou in the upset. But I pointed this out, like, Matt Zollers was a top 100 recruit. It's not like he's some flappy that they're just being forced to throw out there. Like, he's a very talented quarterback. They just need to make sure that he doesn't make any mistakes. And if he takes care of the football and doesn't turn it over, I think Missouri, you know, upset specials brewing here. It's nothing against A&M. They've played well. They've played great to this point. But I also don't think that they're unbeatable. I mean, they've played with fire in a lot of these one-score games this year.
But, Chris, the real upset special takes place at First Bank Stadium in Nashville, Tennessee, at 3 p.m. on SEC Network. Your final pitch on why Derek Nix, now calling offensive plays, who we've been told on first down, second down, third down, fourth down, and fifth down, will be the only play caller. Why is Auburn's offense going to come to life and pull off the upset over Vanderbilt?
Yeah, I have my guy Jake Crane on Locked On SEC today, and he is full-on picking the upset. He thinks Auburn is going to beat Vanderbilt. You know, Vanderbilt has kind of come back down to earth here these last couple weeks. You know, they lost to Bama. They you know, played an ugly game against Mizzou, finally pulled that one out late. And then against Texas, played terrible for about three quarters and then woke up in the fourth quarter, but it was too late. I mean, if they had had another two more minutes in that game, maybe they'd come back to win. But we're seeing Pavia is, when he's getting pressure, he's making mistakes. And he's had a couple lost fumbles here and there. Let me tell you right now, DJ Durkin's not slowing down. I mean, they're going to bring the pressure. They're going to try to force him into those same mistakes again. So, it's about Auburn's offense. God, Ashton Daniels just looked rough last week. I get it. A big part of it is the offensive line, but Jake Crane seems to think, he said Auburn, from what he's heard, is going to let it fly. He's like, they are chucking the deep ball, and if Cam Coleman comes down with it, great. If it gets picked off, whatever. But they are going to let it fly. So it's almost like if you're Derek Nixon's offense, you got nothing to lose at this point. I mean, everybody's coaching for their next gig, so let it fly. I still like Vanderbilt to win at home, but Jake Crane makes a compelling argument for why Auburn could pull this one out.
I guess we'll see. Auburn and Vanderbilt Saturday afternoon in Nashville. And Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC will be talking about that and all the other games going on in the SEC. Plus, where all these coaching vacancies get filled and how these teams decide to move forward. Chris Gordy, we appreciate you, my friend. Tell people where you are and how they can find you.
Yeah, Locked On SEC, wherever you get your podcast. Like I said, that conversation up there with Jake Crane. I asked him, give me his pick for all four job openings. So that's up there at Locked On SEC. And then tomorrow, ESPN.com's Bill Connolly going to join us to talk a little bit about the playoff and the future of college football. So fun conversations, Locked On SEC.
We appreciate it, man. Enjoy the weekend. We'll do it again next Thursday where we'll start to filter in a little basketball talk as well.
Awesome. Yeah, man. Maybe they'll go to overtime again against a bad opponent.
God, there it is. We made it almost. If I would have just got you off the phone right there, Chris, that would have been it. That would have been it. Nah, we appreciate you. We'll talk about it next Thursday. Chris Gordy, Locked On SEC, man.
You thought you made it all the way through.
I gave him another chance. That's on me.
It's a dangerous game to play.
I'll wear that one. Yeah, I'll wear that one.
As soon as he stops talking. Chris, thanks so much for your time.
Yeah. Nah, it's all in good fun. It's all in good fun. Chris Gordy, check him out, Locked On SEC, wherever you get your podcast. We'll take our final break, come back, and make our little picks and predictions for Auburn and Merrimack tonight. We'll talk about that and wrap up the show after this.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin, online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Winding down here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Been a great show today, man. We'll tell you about it, tell you where you can find it, all that and more in just a moment. But let's get to the phone lines here on the way out. Lonnie down in Lochapoka. I've got about 45, 60 seconds for you, brother. What's up?
Well, I wanted to make this point, and maybe I should have saved it till tomorrow, but I wanted to see what you guys thought about this, and maybe you can talk about it tomorrow, but I remember when Harsin was on his way out, there was at least a smattering of players online, you know, and on social media that at least gave him a little bit of credit and said, that's my coach or thanks. I haven't seen one thing about Hugh from anybody, from no player at least. No player making any comments. So
That's a good point. I've seen a couple of recruits just say, like, thanks for investing, but other than that, there hasn't been a lot.
Yeah, pretty quiet, and I think that speaks volumes. Anyway, War Eagle.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Lonnie. That is an interesting point that somebody just texted in our text box that said, great point.
Yeah.
We even talked about it
2 weeks ago when it was, you know, all the frustration and all the blame, and it was like, whenever there's anything like that, you trust the locker room.
You know what I have seen, and we talked about this.
The love for Durkin.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. The entire defense posted the video, the AI picture of him with the gold chains and the grills in with Lil Durk playing and all. Yeah, everybody's loving DJ Durkin.
Silence speaks loudly sometimes. And again, I don't think it was a thing that people disliked Hugh Freeze as a person, because I think a lot of people did like him as a person. I just don't think he was a good fit for Auburn anymore. I just don't think it worked out. I described it as a breakup where two people are just going in separate directions, and it just didn't work out. It had run its course, and it was time to end it.
We got high school football tomorrow, baby.
Yeah, we got Auburn basketball tonight. Hopefully it's not an overtime game. I'd like to get home at a decent hour tonight.
Yeah, it's fair.
And then high school football tomorrow. Lee Sterling joins us tomorrow. We have a basketball player joining us tomorrow in the studio, so we're excited about that. A hint on that, his brother is playing NBA basketball right now, so we'll
nice
give you that.
Tease. Everybody tune into the Lee Scott Warriors Instagram and YouTube and everybody pages. Pretty cool video being posted here tonight.
Yeah.
Wanted to shout out Trey Lee for that as well.
Yeah, so we got all that coming up tonight and tomorrow, 2-4, right here on ESPN 106.7. Until then, he's Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. We'll talk to you later.